Now, I know some of y'all out there are about to be like, ew, gross, a conservative Christian talking about mental health and emotions. What does a conservative Christian even know about mental health and emotions? What does she even know about any of this stuff? Well, I'm about to tell you. At least we're about to talk about it a little bit. We'll put it that way. For those of you free thinkers out there who did not watch last year's New Year's episode of the podcast, I'm gonna do a little bit of a recap. We're gonna revisit some of the things I said last year, see if they still hold up for me. And I might even add another new puzzle piece that I've fit into my life that I think is helping me out a bit. So let's get into it.
Warning, the following program contains critical thinking, honest opinions, viewpoints on culture that may seem conservative, and a positive view on absolute detestable things such as marriage and children. Listener discretion is advised.
Yes, it is 2 a.m. No, my hat is not cohesive with what I'm wearing. But you know what? It's all right. Okay, so let's get started, you guys. So around about a year ago, back when I was still attempting to get this podcast out once a week, Wednesday mornings, bright and early, because apparently past me was some sort of masochist, I put out episode 9 of the podcast titled No New Year's Resolutions. It was my first video podcast. I was previously only doing audio because, you know, it was just that was what I... That's how I started doing it. And then, you know, a few people mentioned that, oh, you should do a video version too. You get more viewers. And then my siblings were not super interested in the podcast. And I was like, well, if I do a video, then will you guys watch it? And they were like, yeah, we'll watch it. And I was like, okay, cool. And so I started doing the videos. And some of my siblings watch the podcast. Some of them don't. Some of them blatantly lied to me. But, you know, it's all good. I think I will live. Maybe. If I don't, you'll know why. And you'll have to fill them in because they're not watching this. But anyways, that episode of the podcast was pretty much just me going, New Year's resolutions are terrible. New Year's resolutions suck. A new year does not, in fact, equal a new you. And all of that stuff. And then I was all like, instead of doing New Year's resolutions this year, you know what I did? I spent the time and I sat down and I wrote down a bunch of things and I think they're helpful. And then I read through them for you guys and explained every single one of them in detail. So, and I'm making fun of myself a little bit here because, you know, I do sound a little pretentious in that video, but I think that's just due to the subject matter being kind of vulnerable and it being my first video podcast. So, you know, if you can get past that and the just superb webcam quality and the not at all atrocious editing of that video, I would highly encourage you to watch it, especially if you're struggling to make New Year's resolutions or you're struggling mentally right now, or you're trying to kind of heal or get over some things that you've gone through in your life, that you've gone through in the past, you know, because, I was struggling with a lot of that last year, and I had been for a long time, and I still am. There's, you know, the struggle doesn't end when you find things to help you cope. So, but I think a lot of the stuff that I did say last year in that episode has held up for me personally, and I would recommend that you go check it out if you can make it past some of the, super great memes that I tossed in there because I didn't know what I was doing. but, you know, that's life. We live, we learn. I've come a long way in a year, my friends. Obviously, the things that I say in that video, the things that I say in this video are not going to work for everybody. Some of them might make you be like, ew, I can't believe she thinks that that works, you know, but that's just how things are. These are things that have worked or are working for me, and they don't always work for me, even though I have tailored them to myself. So just putting that out there. Maybe at the very least, if none of these things apply to you, if none of them click with you, at the very least, I would hope that they get you thinking about some things that you can implement that do work for you. So, yeah, almost spilled my tea. Apparently, I have no consciousness of my surroundings. Anyways, I'm drinking English tea number one out of the Get Out the Vote NAACP mug that I bought for 50 cents at a thrift store, and I love it, and I drink out of it all the time. So ad over, this is a paid sponsorship, just so you know, I am living the life, but let's see here, what was I saying? I was going to say, as human beings, our opinions change. We all know this. We all say things, and then like 5 minutes later, we're like, why did I say that? That was stupid. That doesn't make any sense. That was a bad opinion. Sometimes we say things that we heard other people say, and then a few days later, we go, do I really think that? You know, so, you know, that's just life. But I wanted today to look back at what I said last year, see if it still holds up, talk about my thoughts on it, all of that fun stuff, kind of, you know, reevaluate where I stand, right? Yeah. This year, not this year, this is 2024. It's been, yeah, this is day six of 2024. last year, 2023 felt like 3 years to me. It was so long. Like, I felt like it just dragged out. And not necessarily in a bad way. Like, I will take the extra, like, the feeling of extra time. I will take it. And so it just felt like forever. It felt like I lived multiple lives in 1 year. It was crazy. But, I'm not quite sure why it is that it felt so long. And so I was kind of thinking about it and I was like, maybe it's because I've spent a really long time. Like, how do I put this? I think a good chunk of my teenage years and several of my adult years were spent, under an insane amount of chronic stress related to personal life events and non-personal life events, etc., etc. And I think that last year, 2023, was the first time that I had a normal-esque life situation going on, I think, for a long time at least, you know, and I think it was the first time that I was actually able to breathe for a second, like parts of it. I'm not saying all of last year was just amazing and wonderful, but I think like there, I actually had moments last year where I was like, huh, so this is what it feels like to not be under constant stress. This is so great. But yeah, so I think that 2023 was the first time that I have been able to actually experience my mental state, actually experience my mental issues, actually experience, you know, my spiritual life, consider some of the questions I have about things. Like, it was the first time I've been able to do any of that without this, like, constant, like, insurmountable amount of stress on my shoulders. And so I think I was able to see things a little bit clearer. Like, I was actually able to, like, look at it and go, oh, so that's what my brain looks like in a normal life situation and not in flight or fight or flight mode. That is what I was looking for. You know, I feel like I hadn't been able to really, like, analyze me and the way that I handle things and all of that stuff before. And I'm not saying that I've found all the solutions or that I feel so much better because of it, but I do think I feel different. We'll just put it that way. I feel different, and it is a good different. because I feel like I actually am able to see what I can do to make myself feel better, to make myself be in a better spot. So those are all good things. All good things. I put it down on my little outline here for this episode. Like, I think that sometimes you're just in something so deep that you don't see the way out. There's just no way for you to see the way out. You're so deep in it. And I think that that's how my life has been for years. And I feel like I'm not that deep anymore. And it is a good feeling. So that's that. Now, the things that I was mulling over at the beginning of last year that I think have helped me grow, emotionally, I think, maybe a little bit mentally, but emotionally, definitely. The first thing that I brought up last year was this idea of you can't control other people's facial expressions. And what I mean by this is that you can't control the perceptions that other people are going to have of you, of your situation, of the way that you handle things, of, you know, that you can't control their perception. You know, somebody can't control my perception. You know, they can kind of try to explain something to me in a different light and I can change my perception, but they can't just like snap their fingers and make me, you know, perceive them differently, if that makes sense. And so I think that this was something that did help me, because I was going through, or I had gone through, several situations in recent years where there was dramatic situations or hurtful situations, or, you know, just not fun things, that the problem really boiled down to people's perception of me or of my family or of, you know, a situation or whatever it was. It all boiled down to people's perceptions. And some of the situations, I'm sure, boiled down to my perception of the other person, of the situation, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, my reason in bringing this particular phrase up was that I was trying to remind myself, I'm like, I can't be liked by everybody. I can't be fully understood by everybody. I mean, in fact, I probably can't be fully understood by anybody, but I can get pretty close, just not with everybody. And so, and that was something that I definitely needed reminding of at the time, and that I wish I would have been reminding myself of sooner. But I think that this little phrase has helped me a lot, actually, because I think that there's a difference between caring about how you interact with people, caring about how you make other people feel, like caring about those things, caring about your relationships with people. I think there's a difference between that and letting the way that people perceive you, letting that impact how you view yourself or impact how you feel. You know, does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. I think if you have been in those situations, you know what I'm talking about, and it probably makes sense to you, and that is fine. If somebody has not experienced the feelings necessary to understand this phrase, then that is wonderful. But yeah, so that was one of the first points I brought up. The second thing I brought up last year was the idea that when you are going through something in life, it can be difficult, depending on the situation, to find comfort from other people. Because we all live different lives, we're all very different people. You know, despite the fact that there's a lot of similarities depending on your culture, you know, where you live, what religion you are, like, there's a lot of similarities, but there's also a lot of differences. We're all very different individuals. God made each one of us special. What is that, Max Lucado or whatever? But I'm just, you know, when I was younger, and even since, there have been times where I've gone through something that other people have not gone through, or at least not people that I've met. And for a long time, I would be very frustrated when trying to explain these things to people because I would be like, oh, well, you're not getting what I'm saying. I'm trying to explain this to you and you're not understanding. You know, you're not understanding what it was like for me, what it felt like for me to stand in line at the grocery store and have the checker say out loud in front of the three people behind me, oh, I didn't know your family was on food stamps. It was somebody I knew. It was a high schooler that I knew when I was in high school. Shocker. But, you know, like, you know, I can't expect somebody who has not been in a situation where they are on food stamps to understand that it is extremely embarrassing to be in a situation like that, or to understand that I don't want to be in a situation like that, et cetera, et cetera. You know, like, that's not, it's just not realistic to expect people to understand things that they haven't gone through. There are going to be people who have the ability and the experience and the personality to show empathy to you when you have gone through something, or when you have experienced something, or when you have had a certain feeling about something. There are going to be people that have that level of empathy, but there are going to be a lot of people who don't and find it very difficult, the way that their mind processes things, they're going to find it very difficult to sympathize with you about whatever it is that you're feeling. And you can't expect them to just be like, oh, okay, I totally understand. We just mind melded. And now I have all the feelings that you have, and I have all the memories that you have, and I have all the experience that you have. Like, that's not how it works. And if you really think about it, it's stupid to expect people to completely understand what you're talking about when you're trying to express yourself. There's going to be people who can get pretty close, but there's, you know, unless somebody is you, you know? But the way that I phrased this last year was, it's not their fault. Some people just haven't had the opportunity to learn these things yet. And then the question that I asked after I brought up that quote is, well, it is a quote. It's not really a quote. I don't know. Go back and watch last year's episode. I explained these things a lot better. But anyways, the question that I brought up in relation to this is, you know, do I want the person that I'm frustrated with for not understanding me, do I want them to go through what I've gone through? No. Do I want them to experience what I experienced, you know, just so that they can understand how I feel? You know, and like, I mean, your answer might be yes, depending on the situation. But in most cases, for the things that I was frustrated by, in most cases, my answer is no. I don't want this person to understand how certain things felt to me. And, you know, so, and so once you put it into that sort of like lens, it kind of becomes a little bit easier to get past the fact that they don't understand. So it's like, you know, they haven't had the opportunity to learn yet. And you hope that they don't get that opportunity in some situations. In other situations, you hope they do have the opportunity to learn. But the point is that not everybody has had the same life. And so not everybody is going to be able to understand. And that's just how it is. That's just how it is, my friends. Okay, next thing I brought up last year was a quote from Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. Okay, one of his 12 rules for life is to treat yourself like you are someone you are responsible for helping. And last year I brought up this idea of like, of kind of rephrasing things to, in a way that resonates with you. And so I rephrased Jordan Peterson's rule for life and I said, instead, treat yourself the way you treat somebody that you care about. Because that phrase resonated with me personally, and it was more what I needed to hear than the original Jordan Peterson quote. And, you know, and I think that that has also been a beneficial quote to me in times where I'm really, like, struggling. I just need to remind myself that I need to, you know, I might not care about myself in the moment, but I need to treat myself like somebody that I do care about, because even when I don't care about myself, there are people that I care about that I still take care of. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So I think that's still a helpful one. The next one I brought up was this idea of parenting the parts of you that hurt. And that came from, I was listening to some podcast about, like, writing, and it had, like, nothing to do with mental health, really. And somebody said something along the lines of, like, you just need to parent the part of you that procrastinates in writing. You just need to parent that part of you. And I didn't really care about what they were talking about, to be completely honest. But I heard that, and I was kind of in this, like, headspace of searching for things that were going to help me with other aspects of my life. And so I kind of pulled from that, and I was like, well, what happens if you parent the parts of you that are hurting, you know? And it's like, okay, well, if I had a kid who was struggling with something like what I'm struggling with, what would I do as a parent who loves this child? And I'm just like, okay, so why am I not doing that for myself? That's kind of the idea behind that. That idea was probably the one that, if I had to pick a concept from last year's New Year's episode to just kick off the ballot, okay, as they do out there in Colorado, then I would probably kick that one off, just because it wasn't as impactful to me as I thought it would be. The rest of the stuff on the list, worked, but that, if I had to pick one to get rid of, it would be that one. It wasn't that good, but it might work for you. Who knows? The last thing that I brought up last year was the idea of happiness not being a goal. I'm pretty sure this stems from Jordan Peterson as well. I don't remember where you can find it. It was probably just a lecture of his that I watched at some point that had nothing to do with this, really. I think he was probably talking about something in, like, one of his psychology classes, you know? But anyways, I talked about this idea that happiness is not a goal, and how I wanted to start viewing feeling good as a reward and not a destination. And I think that this is something that has helped me a lot. This is probably one of the most helpful things that I will be bringing up today, was just I quit looking at happiness as, like, this end goal. Because, I mean, the question is always, are you happy? Are you happy? Are you happy? And my answer, I think probably every time that somebody has ever asked me if I was happy, even if it wasn't that deep of a question, you know, I've always said no. And if I said yes out loud, I said no in my mind. Okay. And, you know, so I think the problem with seeing happiness is, like, this end goal is, like, you're constantly trying to get to happiness, and then you get to happiness, you feel good, and then it just goes, whew, because happiness is not something that you just get to and then stay at. Happiness is a feeling, and feelings come and go, and so viewing this good feeling like it's the end goal, and then getting it ripped away from you, and then having to chase that goal again, and then getting to it, and then having it ripped away from you, and then, like, doing it over and over, oh my god. That's exhausting and discouraging. Doesn't it make you just want to stop chasing happiness? So I quit viewing happiness as this final destination, this goal that I needed to reach, and I just let it happen to me. I just let it happen to me, man. Okay? If I feel happy, that is wonderful. But you know what? When I feel happy, I don't have this expectation that it's just going to stay like that. It doesn't mean I expect it to go away right away. I don't put anything on it. I don't put any expectations on it. Okay? I just enjoy the feeling. And then if it goes, it goes. And I know that there's the possibility that it'll probably come back. But there's no use in me wasting all my time and energy like chasing this good feeling when it will inevitably, you know, dissipate and then come back and dissipate and come back, because that's just how life works. And I said this last year too. I know maybe that's a bit pessimistic for your tastes, but it has helped me personally, and I think that if you are more of a realistic or pessimistic person, it can also help you. Let's see. Oh, I know what I wanted to do. I wanted to give you guys a quick update on my election buddy. I mentioned last year that I made a friend. I made an election buddy friend because I was working the election polls out here in rural Tennessee. And I got stuck at this location that's not near my house really at all. And they set up voting polls in the sort of basement of a senior living home. Or a senior citizen center, I think. And I met the loveliest old man. My friend Quincy. That man is a gem. How are you doing, Quincy? Blessed and highly favored. Every single day, that man is blessed and highly favored. And I love him for it. He and his wife are they're just adorable. And they're so fun to be around. And last year, you know, he was my election buddy. Now he's my old people friend. And I have lots of old people friends now because I go out to eat breakfast with Quincy and all his friends. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it gets a little rowdy up in there. I don't know if Mr. Mischievous Dave over there is going to be watching this anytime soon, but he knows who he is. He knows who he is. So it gets a little wild. My point being, old people come in two flavors. Done with life, not happy, grumpy, etc. Okay? And then just wonderful human being. And I like the wonderful human being old people. And I have found a whole group of them. And I'm so happy with it. I'm so truly happy with it. And it really makes my life, like, joyful every time I get to hang out with them. So anyways, that's just a quick update. I didn't think that would be a part of my life, to be completely honest. I've never gone out searching for something like that. But I will take the mentorship, the grandparentship. I will take it. I'm not gonna throw out a good thing just because I am young. That would be stupid of me. Pretty much the point is, all of those things hold up. The only one I would scratch if I had to is the whole parent yourself thing. I know that I probably didn't explain all of these super well this time, but that's just because there's already a video out there giving you all the details as to what makes these things meaningful and what the thought process behind the thought process is behind them. I can speak. Somebody should go through all of my podcast episodes and see how many times I say I can speak, or I can use words, or I can, yeah, it's probably a decent amount. Like, if I had $20 for every time I said that on and off camera, like, I probably could buy another vehicle. A used one, but another one. Yeah. Okay, moving on. All those things stand up. I'm really struggling, you guys. It's like almost 3 a.m. now. It's been a long day, but it's been a good day. And you might be like, Adelia, why are you staying up so late to record this podcast? My answer is because I was already up really late. Because I was having some real interesting intellectual conversations with my parents. And I realized what time it was. And I was like, gosh dang it. I need to be up early in the morning for a work thing. And then I was like, am I going to be able to wake up to my alarm? That is the question. Because sometimes I'm pretty bad about that. If I stay up too late, I sleep through my alarm. So then I was like, you know what? It's fine. You know, I'll just stay up all night. I have plenty of stuff to get done, and this podcast is one of them. So after this, I got a few other things to work on, and, you know, I'll be all fine and dandy, drinking my tea, working through the night. I'll even put on my little blue light glasses. I mean, they're real glasses. My prescription has just changed since I got them, so they're not exactly helpful unless I'm just using them for the blue light. Like, I mean, I can't see much better out of them than I can without them. So I use them when I'm on my computer a lot. That's yeah. It's fine. Maybe one day I'll have insurance again. but let's see. Yeah, so we're doing really well. I know what I was going to talk about. Okay, so all those things are all fine and dandy. We went over that. The one thing that I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast was that the extra little puzzle piece that fit into my life that I think worked for me. And this, I don't know, it was probably over the summer. Maybe it wasn't until fall of 2023, but I was reading Jonah in the Bible, for those of you who don't automatically make that association. I was reading the book of Jonah because it's real short. It's literally 4 chapters long, and I was just trying to get some reading in for the day. And I read through the whole thing, and I was like, you know what? I don't think I ever really, like, as a kid, put 2 and 2 together as to, one, how short the book is, and 2, how impactful it is. Probably because my entire childhood, I just had the VeggieTales version of Jonah in my head. And that's like a whole hour and something long, like the movie, you know, with the pirates who don't do anything. Yeah. but I read through Jonah, and I just want to read like this last chapter here. Okay. So this is after God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and then Jonah was like, I don't want to go to Nineveh, I'm going to go somewhere else. And then he gets on the boat, and he's like going somewhere else, he's going far away from Nineveh instead of going to Nineveh. And then there's like this giant storm that God sends, and then all the people on the ship are like, why is there this big storm? We're all going to die. Everybody pray to your gods. And then everybody prays to their gods. And then Jonah is the only one not praying to his god, because he's down sleeping. And then somebody comes and wakes him up, and they're like, hey, Jonah, wake up. You better pray to your God. We're all going to die. And then he's like, oh, man. He's like, I know why this is happening. He's like, you're just, my God is ruthless. You're just going to have to throw me overboard. Like, this is it for me. Just kill me now. The storm will stop. So then again, so they throw him overboard, because I guess he couldn't bring himself to do it. He couldn't bring himself to sacrifice, you know, like, he had to have other people throw him off, I guess. Which is fair, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't be able to jump off myself either. But, so they throw him off the boat. The storm calms down. God sends a big fish. Okay. We all call it a whale, but God sends a big fish to scoop Jonah up and eat him. And Jonah spins a little bit inside the belly of the big fish. Okay. And then, after that, Jonah's like, man, I'm sorry, God. I should have gone to Nineveh. And so he goes to Nineveh. He gets to Nineveh, guys. He finally does it. He does what God told him to do at the beginning, like we all should be doing. And he gets there. And he's pretty much just like, hey, guys, if you don't turn from these evil ways, God is going to destroy all of Nineveh. And he's looking around. Jonah's looking around at all this depravity in Nineveh. He's just like, man, these people suck. Why am I even here? They're not even going to listen to me. Even if they do listen to me, they don't deserve grace. Like, these people are nasty. These people are some, these people are disgusting. Like, you know, that's what Jonah's walking around thinking. He is judgmental, okay? Even though God sent him here specifically to tell people to turn back to God, Jonah gets there, he tells people to turn back to God, okay? And then when the people of Nineveh believe Jonah and do turn back to God and start tearing their clothes and, you know, doing all the things right again, okay? Like, they even start fasting. Okay, they're doing all the things that God said to do. And that Jonah said that God said to do. And then Jonah's all pissy about it. Jonah's upset. Okay? That he helped share what God wanted them to do, and now they're not going to get destroyed. He's upset that these people are going to keep, like, living. Okay? Okay, so it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah is so angry that these people listened to him and turned back to God and are no longer going to die and be destroyed. Like, he's so, like, I don't know, maybe he just really was into, like, pyrotechnics and things blowing up, like, and he just wanted to see God just, like, you know, they didn't have action movies at the time. Maybe Jonah just wanted an action movie. Maybe his anger would have been quelled by a Marvel movie. I don't know. Maybe a John Wick movie. I have no idea. I don't watch action movies. But yeah, so he's so angry. He's like, just kill me now. Like, I'm so pissed off. Just kill me. Like, this is just, why am I even here anymore? Okay? And so he says, it's better for me to die than to live. And then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned, the next day God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened, when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself again, okay, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant, for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And I should not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock. So, like, you know, historical context aside, God is asking Jonah, he's like, dude, what, like, what is wrong with you? Is it even right for you to be angry about this? Like, are you stupid? Are you stupid? He's just asking Jonah, are you stupid? Like, are you serious right now, dude? This is, like, your anger is unjustified. And, and so I read this, and I've been on a bit of a journey to quell my anger, because I think I had a lot of anger when I was younger, and then, COVID, that nasty little situation happened, and I had a lot of anger. I had a lot of anger because there were a lot of people making a lot of decisions that impacted my life directly and put me in positions that I wasn't very happy about, that weren't really the best. And, like, you know, I was not very happy. I was very angry. I was very angry at the university that I was attending. I was very angry with the people in leadership there. I was very angry with, you know, the church that I had been attending before COVID happened. I was very angry at some of the people who were handling things certain ways. I was very angry at the people who had the audacity to call me a murderer for not wearing a mask. Like, I was very angry. And things just kept going. And my anger just kept building. And, you know, it just kept growing. And I was just extremely angry to the point where it was ruining certain aspects of my life. I was, like, hating certain parts of my life just because of how angry I was with anyone and everything and just every situation ever. And so, like it's almost like what started off as, like, sort of justified anger just kept accumulating to the point where I was angry about things that were unjustified, if that makes sense. And eventually I got to the point where I was like, okay, this is not working. I am miserable. And I was like, I just need to let some of this go. And some of the things that I brought up in my New Year's video last year have helped me let go of a lot of anger. And I'm definitely not as angry anymore. I'll still get worked up about things, but I feel so much lighter. It's not even funny. And this whole Jonah thing, it might not be what initially caused me to start letting go of my anger, but dude, that verse in Jonah, that little passage, okay, that chapter, that last chapter of Jonah, once I came across that it has stuck with me. It has stuck with me. Like, I will be getting angry or just even like mildly irritated about something, and the first words that pop into my head are, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And it's like, I live in a house with 8 other people. I have 6 younger siblings. Sometimes you buy food or you bring home leftovers or whatever it is, you put them in the fridge, even if you mark them, sometimes somebody eats them. I will be looking forward to something that I know is in the fridge all day. By the time I get to it, somebody else has eaten everything. And I'll stand there and I'll be like, so irritated. And my first instinct is like, would normally be to like, go figure out who ate my food. And now, since I've read Jonah, my first instinct, the first thing that pops in my head is it right for me to be angry about this? Is it right for me to be angry about the darn plant? No? Okay. Then I just need to let it go, because being angry about this is not gonna make the food reappear. Finding out who did it is not really gonna solve anything. It's not gonna make me feel better. And I mean, you can look at that and you can be like, well, that's not resolving the problem. And it's like, well, sometimes it's not about resolving the external problem, it's about resolving the internal problem. And in that moment, the internal problem is whether or not I'm gonna choose to be angry about something. And let's see, what's another example of something small? I think I had been trying to get in the shower all day one day, and I finally got the chance to shower, like, because there's a lot of people in my house, like I said. Somebody's always in the freaking shower when you want to shower. It's just life. It's just how it is. And so I have been trying to shower all day. I was not feeling good. I just wanted to take a nice hot shower and relax. And the minute I got in the shower, somebody else got in the other shower, and I get in, and that hot water turns to lukewarm, almost cold water within like the first 30 seconds, probably. And I'm standing there in the shower, half my head shampooed already, letting cold water run all over me. And I was about to be angry, and then that just popped into my head. Is it right for me to be angry about the plant? Is it really right for me to be angry about the fact that somebody else got in the shower at the same time as I got in the shower? Like, is it really, like, no. It's annoying, but there's no reason to just let it go. Just let it go. It's better for me to let it go. And, you know, and I did. Because it's just that reminder, and it just keeps popping into my head. Wait, like, even with more serious things, like when I have a conversation with somebody and they're really being rude or not, like, they're just not being pleasant. They're being a questionable human being in our conversation. That's the first thing that pops into my head. Is it right for me to be angry about the plant? No? Okay, I'm not angry at this person. Like, I don't know why it's clicking for me. It might not click for you. This might not help you at all. But I just think it puts things into perspective, because yes, there is righteous anger, and then there is anger that is unjustified. And in that book, okay, God says, you know, hey, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? of all things. But I can't show righteous anger for the lives of thousands of people. Like, really? Really? That is very interesting, Jonah. How high and mighty of you to decide that the plant is more important than people's lives and people's salvation. That's so nice. I don't know. That's pretty much what I have to say about that. I have no idea if that'll help you, but as I keep saying, it is something that has helped me, so you're welcome, because obviously everything that helps me is going to help you. As I was telling my best friend earlier today, I am your high school guidance counselor, and I know what I'm talking about. And yeah, you just have to listen to me. But yeah, some of the highlights of this year, to wrap us up. I've lived a lot of different lives, like I said, okay? It genuinely feels like multiple years in one. I started writing for a newspaper here in Tennessee, the Tennessee Conservative. I am very happy that I got that opportunity because it's nice. It combines writing and politics, two things that I like and that I am good at, or I like to think I'm good at. You know, some people that disagree with my political opinions would disagree with the fact that I'm a good writer. However, people tend to agree that I am a good writer when they are unaware of my political opinions. So I'm going to go with I'm a good writer, and people are a little too emotionally invested in politics. Anyways, started writing for them, and I've got to meet some pretty chill people through that. I got to help out with the Conservative Candidates Academy conference back in September, I think. Maybe, yeah, September. That was pretty fun and pretty interesting. I went on the Forge and Anvil podcast in February. I went on Mill Creek View podcast in like October or something. So I've been getting all over the place. I went on Defense of the Indefensible podcast last month, I think. Maybe the month before last month. That was probably the most fun podcast I've been on. Just because the conversation was so deep. If you haven't checked out that episode, I'll have it linked in the description below. But yeah, that was pretty fun. I got to go to my great-grandmother's 96th birthday party up in Wisconsin, before she passed later in the year. And so I'm really glad that me and my family made it to that. It was really good. And I don't know, it was just... She was a wonderful woman. She was an active woman, and I think that that's part of why she was around for so long. She really kept involved in things in her family, and you know, she was still like volunteering at a nursing home up until pretty shortly before she died. Like, you know, and these are all things like staying active and like having a purpose to your life is really important. When it comes to longevity, guys, that or you could just be a really stubborn old person who is bitter and doesn't want to die and isn't ready to die. I've seen that work pretty well, too, for a life long lived. Maybe not a life well lived, but a life long lived. It definitely works. I've seen it time and time again. Other things that I did this year. I turned 21. I can now legally drink. Did I illegally drink? I guess you'll never know because now I can legally drink. Let's see. I spent 2 weeks with my best friend. She came to visit me this summer, and it was absolutely amazing. We filmed all the Blue-Haired Conservatives episodes that are up of the podcast, and that was really fun. Kind of got me going on having somebody else on my podcast, which was really fun. I also went to Texas in August, and got to see my friends, and my friends' little babies, and that was really fun. And I got to see my family and my little cousins, and so I had a really fun time then. Also went up to Virginia, at one point for a writer's conference. That was awesome too. It was a Mennonite writer's conference, but you know, to each their own, man. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. But yeah, that's my year in a little, in like a minute or two, however long it took me to get through that little list of highlights. I'm sure there were other things, but you know, what am I, do you care? Maybe you do, but like, actually, do you care? All of that being said, I think I'm going to be making some content changes here coming up, that might mean putting a hold on Subtle Rampage podcast specifically. But if I do put a hold on the podcast, the videos that I put up are going to be like similar in nature, similar subject matter, I guess. I just feel like personally for me, for my mindset, I need that little shift so that I can feel like I'm not being constrained by the confines of a podcast, if that makes sense. If it doesn't make sense to you, oh well, it makes sense to me, and I think it's going to help me with you know, ideas and actually saying what I want to say and not feeling bogged down by it needing to be a podcast. So yeah, hopefully you like the results. Hopefully you like the shorter videos. They won't be super short, but they will be shorter than this hour-long podcast. Point being, hopefully you stick around. If you don't, I won't be upset. I won't be angry, but I will be disappointed. I will be disappointed. I just want to put that out there. And yeah, that's all I got for today. But thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And this one is specifically to appease my father, who has been trying to get me to watch the Terminator movies with him, even though I probably won't because I don't like movies. I'll be back.